Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it is going to be a fun show again. We are going to actually not have a guest today because we have so much to talk about. There have been so many people contacting us and asking us, hey, how do I take my shelter dog and turn it into a service dog? Or how do I learn how to train a dog to become a service dog? Well, today we're going to actually do a mini training session. So definitely hang on and get ready for the show of a lifetime. How many people say to you, you know, Joe, you know, Missy, you know, Kayla, you know, Sarah, you have such a sweet dog. I think your dog would be a terrific therapy dog. You know, we all hear that if we have a great dog, and certainly like my Wyatt and my dogs can all be therapy dogs and even service dogs for me because they're very talented. Well, one of the things is, though, in order for a dog to become a therapy dog or a service dog, and we're going to go into the differences between them, those dogs need to be the top 1% of all dogs. They can't just be sweet knucklehead dogs. They've got to be dogs who are perfect under any circumstances. No matter what happens, they are unflappable. They are indomitable, and they are super, super well-behaved no matter where they go. Just today, I had a phone call from a very nice lady who breeds show dogs, and she had a 3-year-old little dog that she was interested in donating. And it seemed like it might be a potential real nice little dog for one of our wonderful kids or veterans waiting for a free service dog. The problem that I see is that she said that the dog doesn't like to be in big crowds of other dogs. Now, what does that mean? That's code word. And she said something to me that I was kind of took me aback. She said, "Well, you know how some of the, you know, the dog show people are, and you know how some of the show dogs are." And I said, "Not mine, because the show dogs should be, again, the best dogs in the world. They should be the best behaved. They should have the best temperaments. You don't want a dog who's fearful or who's aggressive as a show dog reproducing and procreating and making more aggressive or fearful show dogs. You don't want a dog who is going to have a temperament that's not safe to be around. Because remember, if we can't child-proof every dog, because every dog is not capable of it, but we certainly can't dog-proof any child. We never know what a child is going to do. And I'm not talking about a 15-year-old. I'm talking about, you know, little kids under 7 or 8 years of age. You've got to be careful. So when we are placing a dog or when we're training a dog or retraining a dog at Merlin's Kids or through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, we have to make sure that that dog is perfect in any situation. So you can't just take a dog, like, unfortunately, although I'm very flattered, there have been a lot of copycat groups that are trying to do what we do at Merlin's Kids and taking dogs from shelters or rescues or even just puppies. People don't know how to train. And they're taking these dogs and they're putting in a week or two or three or even a month, and they think that those dogs are going to be trained service dogs. They're not. Anyone who thinks, and I'm about the most optimistic of all, it takes us for a really, really super well-behaved dog that's perfect. It takes us a minimum of 4 months. And that's not always the time it takes for me to train, because I can train a dog in a couple of weeks. But it's to make sure that we can put that dog into any situation over and over and over again, and the dog has to be 100% perfect. So if we take a dog and let's say I train a dog and it's a diabetic alert dog or a seizure dog, and the dog is now completely wonderful and perfect. Well, how about if that dog is fearful in, let's say, in larger areas, or the dog is fearful if it's around other dogs? Well, or if it's aggressive, or if you just don't know about it because you haven't even bothered to put the time in because you're going for the glory hound instead of for the legitimate service dog. Well, what can happen is, unfortunately, that dog, you are setting that dog up for failure. And you all know by listening that we at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids have our slogan, and it's trademarked, set your dog up for success, not for failure. So if you are going to take a dog, or if anyone is going to take a dog and literally take it out of a shelter, or take a puppy that's too young or that wasn't raised properly, and you're going to try to make that into a service dog or a therapy dog, one day, sooner or later, you're going to have a dog that's going to bite someone. You're going to get lawsuits. You are going to be found out to be the scam or sham you are, because you can't do that to a dog. Why would anybody take a dog from a shelter or rescue, or any puppy, any dog, and in, you know, put things and you know, different circumstances around that dog? Why would you take that dog and set it up to fail? That would be ridiculous. That would be like taking your child and setting your child up to fail and saying, hey, Johnny, you should just run as fast as you can because you can outrun that speeding car. Go ahead, Johnny, try it. Well, Johnny's going to get himself killed, and you're going to be in jail for being the worst parent ever. Well, unfortunately, with dogs, if you set the dog up for failure, the dog can bite someone. The dog can run away. The dog can growl. The dog can scare someone. The dog can hurt someone. So please, if you're thinking about doing this, please listen. I'm giving you great advice that we have trained hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of service dogs, thousands of therapy dogs, and tens of thousands of dogs who we have rehabilitated. I have personally rehabilitated more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues. I do roughly 14 or 15 classes a week, each having anywhere from 1 to 6 dogs sometimes. Usually most people have 1 or 2, maybe 3, 4. So I have a lot of experience, and all of our team at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we have extensive hours and hours and dogs on dogs on dogs, and working with shelter and rescue dogs, and understanding dog psychology, understanding why dogs do what they do. Because if you understand why dogs do what they do, then you can figure out what to do to fix that. Now, it doesn't mean that every single dog in a shelter is going to be able to be a service dog or a therapy dog. But it does mean that there are a lot of dogs. And let's say the average shelter has 100 dogs. There is one dog out of those 100 that can be a service dog. And I want that one dog to save that one dog so that he or she does not die that day. So we are going to go through our training process of what we do at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals to provide the best quality service dogs and possibly in the industry. And we are going to teach you what to do, because we don't want to set you up for failure. We want to set you up for success. And if you want to succeed, stay tuned right after the commercial message. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're going to give you a good rundown on how to train your dog. Your dog who people have said, hey, you got the best dog in the world. Wow, he's so sweet. I bet he'd be a great therapy dog or a great service dog. Okay, well, what is the difference? Well, we have a different levels of expectation, and we have different levels of training. We have the lowest level would be emotional support animals. Those are dogs who they don't even really have to be well-behaved, but they're helpful to their owners. So an emotional support animal is not technically considered to be a service animal, and it doesn't, unfortunately, require for the dog to be very, very well trained or very well behaved. It doesn't even have to be trained at all. It's just more the needs of the person. I separate these from PTSD dogs because it is a little bit different. But an emotional support animal, and if you've been watching in the news, sometimes people are not allowed to bring them because what happens is those are the dogs that people unfortunately seem to take advantage of. Doesn't mean that every single person does, but unfortunately that's what happens with a lot of these dogs. So you can take your dog who is not a very good dog and you can call it an emotional support animal. It has no type of training and it could be a good dog or it could be a dog with behavioral issues. Either way, the dog is basically your pet, and it's basically just helping you to cope with whatever it is. So that's an emotional support animal, and there's nobody who certifies emotional support animals because really the emotional support comes from the bond that the person has with a pet. Like anyone, you can have a bond with a, you know, with a chinchilla or with a rabbit or with a bird. Whatever it is that helps you emotionally is what's considered an emotional support animal. Now, most of the airlines do allow these pets, but they only allow them in cages or crates because I think basically the airlines understand that all of these emotional support animals are not super, super well-trained or well-behaved. And like I said, many of them come from agencies or just don't even come from an agency, or they come from people who, you know, grab them out of a shelter and keep them there for a week and, you know, say, oh, it's an emotional support animal with very little, if any, training. The next level, which is a therapy dog. Therapy dogs are those great, well-mannered dogs that we see in hospitals and nursing homes and different facilities like that. Now, the difference is that a therapy dog, typically, especially one that shows up in a hospital, has to have a certification. There are two different certifications. There's a canine good citizen through American Kennel Club, AKC, which is where my Wyatt, won his AKC ACE Award for being the number one service dog in the world in 2010 when he was only 2 years old. So the AKC monitors that and has, at least they have a pretty decent standard. So what happens is a dog who comes in who wants to be, you know, owners want it to be a therapy dog. If the dog shows any kind of human or animal aggression, obviously, you know, it's not really going to be good for CGC, for Canine Good Citizens. Next level through AKC is called Therapy Dog, TDI, Therapy Dog International. Now, that is, the dog has to be able to be around hospitals, nursing homes. It has to be around, usually around children. It has to be around wheelchairs. So that's definitely a higher level of training. The problem is that TDI doesn't normally test you with many other dogs. So we have seen at Merlin's Kids, many of these dogs who are either CGC or TDI certified or through some of the other agencies, these dogs are actually dog aggressive. I can't tell you how many times I've had to pull a French poodle off of a golden retriever or pull a little, you know, Yorkie off of another dog or having, you know, break up a dog fight because two people got to the same hospital with two different dogs, and because the dogs weren't in a pack and socialized together, they went after each other. I see this all the time, and it's scary because at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, we do not allow that. That's it. The dog is done. So when we accept a dog, even if the dog was maybe not great with other dogs, by the time the dog is certified through Merlin's Kids, that dog can be around any other dog, any other animals, any pets, any people. Literally a bomb could blow up under it, and we would know that that dog was going to be safe. Well, why is that so important? Well, if you're doing therapy work, and most people who do therapy dog work are just the best people in the world. They really want to help. But, you know, sometimes people who really want to help have a dog who's not really the best dog in the world for that job. So you have to really think about it. If you want to go and be a therapy dog handler and your dog isn't really good for that, you can find another dog. You don't even have to buy another dog. Like what we do at Merlin's Kids, we have several people who have dogs, who had the dogs before they went through our United Canine Professional training or our Merlin's Kids training. And what happened was the people had, like the one girl has a Jack Russell, I don't need to say much more. The dog is not good with people and he's terrible with other dogs. But the lady wants to be a therapy dog team. So what we have at Merlin's Kids, we have kind of extra dogs who are just dynamite, can be handled by anyone, can go anywhere. And so now they have to become certified with our dog. So they become a certified therapy dog team. You can't just say that a dog is a therapy dog. It has to be certified with another person and or with more than one person who are trained to handle that dog properly. Because you can have the best dog in the world, and if it gets scared or it's not with its owner, maybe it's not going to be a very good dog at that time. Well, you don't want to have that dog in an area where the dog is not going to be comfortable and he's going to potentially do something he normally wouldn't do if he were with his owner. So we have therapy dogs all around the country who people can take, and they have to obviously train with first, and they can take that dog to go to do hospital or nursing home or school visit. So it's really fun. So these dogs are trained specifically and selected specifically for their ability to just kind of be calm in situations and also to be social with people without jumping or without getting out of control. So the perfect therapy dog would be typically a smaller dog who's very calm or a larger dog who doesn't have a big stinky coat of hair like huskies. They're not, you know, because some people have allergies and there's smells and dog hair, and, you know, you don't want loose dog hair all over a nursing home or a German Shepherd with a, you know, double coat. Even though they can be the best dogs in the world, there's a lot of grooming you have to do, and you have to be very careful to make sure this hair isn't going to get into somebody's IV line when you're visiting a hospital. So those dogs need to be especially well-behaved with many people. So many people should come up to the dog, and if at any point when you're training your therapy dog, you notice that it doesn't like a particular type of person, that's telling you not only that you shouldn't be going to that type of person, let's say a senior citizen, maybe the dog doesn't like whatever it smells, or a child where the child might be a little bit more active. But it also means that that could happen with other animals or people around, and it's a warning sign. It's a big red flag. When a dog isn't good with one type, it may not be good with others. So we're going to go through some more things for therapy dogs. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking today about how to train your dog to become a therapy dog or a service dog. Well, now we're going to talk about the real, real important part here. How do you make your dog into the dog who can be a therapy dog or a service dog? Well, if you're lucky enough to get the puppy when it's very young, and by the way, having a puppy and trying to train it does not assure that you will have the dog you want. Sometimes it's easier to assess an adult temperament than it is a puppy. So I just want to give you a brief little synopsis. So let's say you get a puppy and the puppy's 6 weeks old. Well, first of all, the puppy's way too young to have come away from its mother, so you're already starting behind the eight ball. If you're buying a dog, you should be buying it from the breeder, and you should not ever be getting any dog from a pet store, because if anybody is breeding mixed breed dogs, now I'm not saying mutts in general, but if they're specifically breeding mixed breed dogs, they are breeding them to make money. Make no mistake about that. So anyone who is breeding dogs that is making money on it doesn't really care about things. They're more involved and more worried about making money. Now, yes, there are a few people I've spoken with who are trying to breed dogs to be therapy dogs, but to me that is just basically a crock. If you're breeding, then you breed to better your breed. You breed to make better, longer living, healthier, better temperament, like Wyatt. When I breed Wyatt, I'm hoping to get more Wyatts, and I'm hoping to get even better than Wyatt, healthier, live longer. So if you're breeding for money, then unfortunately, like a very good friend of mine who has a mixed breed, one of the oodle mixes that was very popular, well, unfortunately, her dog is going blind. It's three. Well, it's very common to both of the breeds of the combination that this dog is. So unfortunately, this sweet dog who did have temperament issues and was a bit fear-aggressive and fearful and was raised perfectly from a puppy, it has nothing to do with the owner, but the dog just genetically had a bad start because the dog had all these issues. Well, now this dog is going blind. It's absolutely heart-wrenching. The dog is three. So this kind of gets me going again on my tirade and my rant about, please, if you want the mixed breed dog, even if you want a purebred dog, there are great dogs in the shelters. Go to a breed rescue. Go on, you know, all these Pet Finder and all these different websites. There are so many great dogs waiting to be adopted. Please don't patronize people, especially pet stores. I don't care if the pet store tells you it's the best breeder in the world. I got news for you. If a pet store called me and said, hey, Janice, we'd like to sell one of your Champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks, some of the puppies, I would probably punch him if I could through the phone, because I'm not going to let somebody make money on my dog and then just dump it somewhere. I don't want them to take my poor dog, my puppy, and give it to somebody who is just going to be buying it. People who want a purebred dog, they know, especially when you want to get one from a really good breeder like myself or many of the people I know in the show world, you've got to get on a waiting list. You've got to, you know, I check references. I check the veterinarian's reference if they don't have a veterinarian because it's a first-time dog owner. I get 3 personal references, and I do call, and I do ask very probing questions, because if somebody doesn't want to give me personal information, they're not going to get my dog. They can go find one from somebody else. They're not going to get mine. Also, if they, for some reason, have to ever get rid of that dog, the dog comes back to me, and I guarantee that dog for years and years and years of its life for behavior, lifetime guarantee for behavior. Well, of course, with what I do as one of the top behaviorists in the country, I'm able to do that for people. But even if somebody were to move, that guarantee, like anybody who gets a dog and works with one of us at United Canine Professionals, you know, you get that lifetime guarantee. That lifetime guarantee goes with the dog. Same thing with me and my puppy. So anytime you buy a puppy in a pet store, just remember that puppy's parents are still living in the puppy mill. They're still being bred every 6 months. They're being bred over and over and over again to make more and more money, and then they're probably dumped into a shelter or let go, just and they're done. When the people are done making money off of them, they dump the dog. So if you're buying a dog, a puppy from a pet store, congratulations, you're helping to support puppy mills. And this coming from a legitimate, reputable breeder, I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't buy dogs in pet stores. There are no good, reliable, reputable breeders who will ever sell a dog to a pet store. Okay, so we're talking about therapy dogs. And therapy dogs, the most important thing is to socialize them at whatever age, whether it's at 6 weeks or 12 weeks, or at 16 weeks, or 2 years, or 4 years. The best thing is to socialize them to many different situations. Take them out to Petco, or, well, I don't buy things there, but I do use it to socialize. Take it to the big box stores. Take them to the dog park. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be inside the dog park, because you don't want the dog to get hurt either, but take the dog where there are a lot of other people. Get the dog used to other dogs, especially the brachiocephalic breeds, including bulldogs, because the first time your little dog sees a bulldog, it is not going to realize that that is a dog. Bulldogs and sometimes even boxers, but all the brachiocephalic, the pugs, French bulldogs, all of them can be seen as a different species because they really don't look like dogs to a dog who's never seen one. So then you're also going to be making sure right away you take the dog in the car a lot. This is one of the most overlooked things in the therapy and service dog field. Get that dog in a car, take it out at least 3 or 4 times a week. It's got to go in a car, because you can have the best service dog in the world, and if it can't move from place to place and go with its owner because it's car sick or it's afraid of trains or it's afraid of a bus, guess what? You got a great pet. He can sit home. But the most important thing is to make sure that all of the dogs are raised with a lot of love and a lot of rules. Rules to make sure that the dogs understand that they're never allowed to jump. So don't start teaching the dog to jump. Don't teach the dog to get up on the furniture, because sometimes people won't want the dog up there. People might be afraid. People might have allergies. They might want to look at the dog and talk to the dog without petting the dog. So teach your dog to respect, and we're going to go into that in our last segment today, not our fourth, but our fifth segment. We're going to go into that about how to keep a dog at arm's length and how to set that rule, because that's one of the most important rules there is. So, talking about now, when you have a therapy dog and you've got your dog socialized and the dog is really doing great, that's when we want to start teaching the dog basic commands. Nothing crazy, but basic commands, so that if somebody wants the dog to come up to him, he can pat his lap, or he can say, okay, or he can call the dog's name and say, Fluffy, come here. And then the dog can, with permission, come up on the lap of the person. Now, it's important always to make sure that the person invites the dog up, because you might say the word okay as your break command, and then you say to the person, would you like to see the dog? And they say, oh, no, I'll just look at him from here. And you say, okay, answering the person, but the dog thinks you just said okay, and now the dog jumps up on the person. The person gets upset or scared or frustrated or whatever. So there are so many things, so many little commands, and we're going to talk about that in the fourth and fifth segment today, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about therapy dogs and service dogs and the wonderful work they do, but we're also talking about the hard work that goes into it. And I appreciate those people who dedicate themselves to their dog and themselves to other people, because they are wonderful and selfless. And you are the unsung heroes. You are the ones who go in and help that individual person or four or five people. When you make them smile and you work hard and you take care of your dog and you work hard to train him, and we appreciate that. And you guys are the best. Well, I think sometimes people don't understand how much time can go into it. So when you're training your therapy dog, the most important thing, as I said, is to make sure that you socialize the dog to different things, different people, also different times of day. And as we're speaking, actually, I'm just pulling up an email of someone who asked, how can I certify my dog to be a therapy dog? And also, what's the difference between certifying to be a therapy dog and a service dog? Well, that's exactly what I was going to talk about, so let's segue into that. So we talked about therapy dogs and what therapy dogs do. Well, now we're going to talk about a service dog. How many times do people say, oh, yeah, I have a service dog too? No, you have a therapy dog too. In order for you to have a service dog, it means you have to have a disability that prevents you from doing whatever it is. Now, PTSD dogs, it's a very slippery slope. I know of somebody who does not have PTSD, was a military veteran, but had no PTSD, never saw active duty, and just is, you know, basically, as he told me, it's a very angry man. So what he wants to do is he wants to take his dog around so he can feel special. And, you know, those people who really don't understand what is so the big deal, what's the big deal? Because those are the dogs that people have not trained appropriately. And if it's a service dog means it is helping someone to do something he or she could not do without that dog. Meaning, let's say somebody has a diabetes condition, they're diabetic or they're hypoglycemic. Someone has a seizure disorder or gets some kind of a, you know, brain issues with, let's say, like with mini strokes or even full-fledged strokes or blood sugar or any kind of a thing that can be chemical or electrical in nature. So let's say that. Let's say somebody who's needing a physical support dog, Bell's palsy. We have a lovely lady. I'm working on a dog for her right now. Any of these things, if we are able to actually now bring dogs in for people who really don't need them as a service dog, it is cheapening and degrading every dog that is trained, either through a legitimate organization, like for seeing eye dogs, for guiding eyes, or for dogs who are for diabetic people, dogs for people who have specific allergies. So, yes, there are many different things that a dog can be trained to do. But let's say for myself, if I have Wyatt and Wyatt is alerting me to my health condition, and now I have somebody else who's got a dog in the same airplane, and their dog isn't a service dog, and now I spent half the flight having to keep my dog from getting bitten by the dog across the bulkhead, that is a problem, and I have a big issue with that. If your dog is a service dog, then your dog has to be held to the highest standards. Don't care if you paid $100,000 or if you trained them yourself. If that dog does not make sure that if you don't make sure that dog is absolutely safe around other people and other dogs and other animals, then that dog is not a legitimate service dog. It can be a great service dog for you at your home. But when you start taking a dog out in public and you say, oh, my dog's not really good with kids, guess what? There are kids out in public. That is not a service dog that should be out in public. You can use them in your home. That's fine. You can use them around your family. But please don't bring your dog who's not trained and pretend it's a service dog, or even if it was a service dog and now it's not functioning or it's dog aggressive, please keep it away from the general public because you're going to get someone hurt. And it also, I'm just waiting because I see people who, like it yesterday with at Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, where I was with Wyatt, who is my service dog. Well, I put Wyatt's gentle leader on, and Wyatt was alerting on to me once he was finished showing. Well, yeah, I'd forgotten to eat, and I wasn't feeling well, hadn't gotten much sleep, and he alerted to me. Now, this was in the middle of, 3,000 dogs at Westminster. So that dog, my dog, can be unaltered male with all these other unaltered males and unaltered females. Obviously, every dog in a confirmation show, like Westminster, meaning that every dog there is intact, because those are the dogs who, when they become champions and grand champions, will be used to breed to create more amazing champions, hopefully even better and better than their parents. So when a dog comes through and it's got a service dog vest on that's halfway even legitimate, and they've got this service dog vest on, they're walking through, and they've got, their dog is growling at other dogs, and their person is holding it back, and that's not a service dog. You could use that dog at home. It's maybe an emotional support animal. Maybe the person would be nervous to go out in public without the dog. I'm sorry, but then just get yourself a dog who is social and is okay. Please don't create problems, because what's going to happen, and it's happening already, as we see all these fly-by-night agencies, like the one I told you guys about in Texas that I had known about, where the people haven't even been doing it a long time. They put 3 service dogs out that they got from a shelter. I mean, you can't get a dog from a shelter, keep it a week, and then place it and pretend it's a service dog. Because eventually, if not sooner, then certainly later, you're going to wind up having somebody say, oh, that service dog was aggressive. I'm not letting service dogs in my store anymore. And eventually, it will ruin it for everyone, all because people want to pretend they're something they're not. Please don't put these dogs in danger. And please don't put people who legitimately need service dogs in a position where we have to say, no, my dog is actually trained and here's the legitimate ID. So if you look, there are different agencies that will register your service dog. They're not real agencies. It's not a legitimate agency. It's not an agency at all. They haven't trained the dogs. You pay $100 or $200 for some service they provide to you. and you give this company $100 or $200, and they give you a fake ID card. That's not trained service dogs. And unfortunately, there are many more of the fraud dogs than there are legitimate. So we are definitely all working on it, and I'm involved in working with several of these other legitimate agencies like ours. We're trying to get this stopped. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's a shame that we even have to think about that, that there are that many bad people out there who don't understand that sticking a vest on a dog with a little patch on it that says service dog doesn't make it a service dog. It makes you a fraud. It's the same thing as if you pretended to be a doctor. You know, it's just it's wrong. It's wrong on a lot of levels. So hopefully we will be able to work with people in the future and train people to train their dogs to be service dogs. And it's, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to have, when to give that, you know, that ability to the dog and train the dog to be able to help people. So, you know, let's talk about it in the next segment. We're going to talk about how to train your dog and get your dog to be able to be better in public places. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking therapy dogs and service dogs. And yes, I've been ranting because lately it seems like so many of the dogs that I see are not legitimate service dogs. And it breaks my heart because this is something I've dedicated my life for 30 years to doing. So let's talk about what we were going to go into about making sure that your dog who is a legitimate service dog or you're training to be a service dog or therapy dog is good in public. The most important thing to me as a canine behaviorist and as a person who has trained thousands and thousands and thousands of dogs and rehabilitated tens of thousands is to make sure that that dog is safe for the general public. Is that dog safe, and is it going to become a danger to itself or to people or animals around it? If the answer is the dog is the best dog in the world and it's great around kids and great around adults, great around hospitals, great around nursing homes, great around other animals, pets, dogs, horses, alpacas, whatever, then let's go. We're assuming we have those perfect dogs like the Wyatts, Whispers, and other dogs that I have, assuming your dog is that well-behaved. Now let's train them. What we're going to do. And if you want to know, you can actually contact us if you want the formal training and to go through our whole process. You can contact us at merlinskids.org, which would be 855-HI-WYATT. And if you want to call UnitedK9Professionals.com, which is United, the letter K, number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com, you can call us at 855, the number 4, K9 Pros. So you can contact us about that. But let's go into the most important thing is making sure that your therapy or service dog or emotional support animal is good around the general public. Honestly, as long as your dog is a well-behaved dog, even if it is an emotional support animal, guess what? I don't care if it's out there. As long as it's not a danger to me or my animal, or to anyone that I have around me, like a child or an elderly person. So it's just kind of common sense. But as we know, common sense isn't always that common. So let's say we take that dog. We're going to start by, like we do at United Canine Professionals, learning about canine behavior first. Dogs think like dogs, so you have to approach things from a dog's perspective if you want to understand why a dog might be afraid in a situation. Now, there are many different things that can cause a dog to be fearful. It can be genetics. It can be that the dog was just poorly bred and that the dog's parents were fear-aggressive or fearful. It could be just the breed. A lot of breeds are very fearful, and like a Chihuahua tends to be a very fearful dog, but because they try to be dominant, they become fear-aggressive. That doesn't mean if you have a Chihuahua, it's going to become fear-aggressive. It just means that you have to be extra careful to make sure that you're teaching the dog the right way so the dog doesn't become fearful or fear-aggressive. So what you would do is try, when the dog is young or when you first get the dog, if it's a dog that's small enough to be handed off, take the dog, hand it to someone, assuming it's not an aggressive dog. If it is aggressive, contact us at United Canine Professionals. We'll fix the dog for you and put you in touch with our training program. But typically, let's say you have a little dog and it's a little fearful. Don't look at the dog. Just take the dog gently, place the dog into the person's hands who you want the person to be socializing with, and then look away from the dog. Don't look into the dog's eyes. Looking at the dog is a challenge. And if you look at the dog, and this is something I've learned through 35 years of working with dogs, actually more than that, but I'll leave it at that for my for illustrative purposes. So let's say you've got the dog and you're handing it to someone. Have them just hold the dog and ignore the dog for a moment until the dog kind of settles in. As soon as the dog starts calming down, pet the dog and snuggle with it. Now, don't stick your face near the dog because the dog's still not comfortable. But start petting the dog and stroking the dog and enjoying him. Then hand that dog back to the owner. Again, hand the dog back. Don't have the owner take the dog. You hand the dog back to the owner. Have the owner get the dog back together in case it's a bit fearful. So now that the owner is getting the dog back to normal, now hand the dog off to that same person again. Do that a few times back and forth until the dog seems to be comfortable with both. Then hand the dog back to the owner, and then hand the dog back to the new person. Again, no eye contact. Don't look at the dog. As soon as the dog settles in, whether it's for 30 seconds or for 5 minutes, make sure the dog is settled in before looking into the dog's eyes. You will make your dog fearful. Don't do that. So you, again, go from the owner to the new person, owner to the new person several times, then owner to the next new person, until after a while, you can then have one person handing to the next. Now, if you have a dog who's looking like he's going to snap, who is, and of course, you're not staring at the dog, but in a glance, if you think that the dog might be getting fearful, too fearful, then have the person put the dog down on the ground, you put the leash or the collar onto the dog, and you walk the dog, and then hand the leash to that person. That's another way of teaching the dog that other people can be his leader as well. So you can do it either by handing the dog off from person to person gently, but not assuming it's a dog, kind of handing it off like you were handing, you know, a cold glass of iced tea or lemonade. You'd hand it, but you wouldn't be tentative about it. So the dog won't be nervous, but the dog will just be, you know, ready and, oh, okay, I guess I didn't die. I guess I'm okay. That's a big job. And some dogs, you'll have to do that for a few weeks to really get the dog comfortable. Then what you can do is start having the owner be higher than the person. So have the person sitting down and the owner standing up, because typically that's what will happen in a nursing home or in a situation where the person will be higher than the dog. And you pick the dog up, place the dog in the person's lap, and then have the person sit with the dog and pet the dog. And then try to get yourself away a couple of feet away, first maybe 2 feet away, then maybe 3 feet away, until the dog realizes that you're not going to be leaving, but that he's safe in this new person's arms. Now, this is for a service dog or a therapy dog, because if you're going to have a therapy dog, you're going to be dealing with many different people. If you have a service dog, because you have a legitimate reason to have a service dog, you know, your energy is going to be a bit weaker. So we want to make sure that the dog understands that even though your energy is weaker, that you're still there protecting him and providing for his needs. So I hope this is making sense to all of you, because this is really important for all of us, to make sure that we have the best behaved dogs. This is just one small skill that we teach people at United Canine Professionals and at MerlinsKids.org, and that the future Dr. Jody Joseph in Cornell will be teaching to her patients someday. Well, we have so many things. We have just amazing people. We have an incredible team of people. We're bringing so many new people on, and we are starting our new class at United Canine Professionals. And, you know, it's great because we're able to train people not only to work with dogs in shelters and rescues and save those lives so we don't have 4 million dead dogs next year like we did this year and last year, but we also want to get out there and help to have people be spotters for us. We want people to be able to go to shelters and rescues and say, hey, Janice, I have this great dog. This dog, I think it's terrific. It's going to be a great service dog or a great dog for a child. And we want you to be able to know enough to find those dogs for us so we can trust your judgment and then bring these dogs into our program. We're currently looking for people in New York State. We're looking for people in Arizona, even though we already have a bunch coming into our next class. We are looking for people in Connecticut, Massachusetts. We're also looking for more people in Florida, as well as finding several people in Missouri. So we're really looking for people all over. Now, we're always looking for people in Texas, and we're always looking for people in New Jersey. We just always are, because that's where our two main places are. But we did buy our place in Missouri, and we are looking for more people out that way, especially if, you know, you're out in the area between Kansas City and Springfield, and if you're, you know, out in the other areas as well, anywhere in that, we're looking for help. So if you're interested, contact us at United Canine Professionals or Merlin's Kids. You can call us at 855-HI-WYATT. Or 855-4-K-9-PROS. Well, unfortunately, that's about it for today, but we are so grateful for having you here again. And next week, we will be talking more about the next way and the next step to training your dog to be a service dog. God bless. Have a wonderful week and stay safe.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.